In a world drowning in data and deception, he is the last line of clarity. These are the continuing adventures of Nick Guy, Data Detective. Tonight's episode, Jennifer, Am I?
The city. Its sounds and smells carried on the night air, delivered through my open office window. My name is Nick Guy. I'm a data detective. I was finishing up some paperwork before going home. The Bob Twitt case has gone cold, and I was getting restless for some action. Be careful what you wish for. Come in.
Are you Nick Guy?
Her voice was smooth like cream cheese on a bagel. I need to get something to eat before it gets too late. Yes, I am. Come on in. Have a seat. I offered a chair on the other side of the desk. She floated to the room on a cloud of leather stilettos. She was wearing my favorite color, spandex. She looked like a damsel in a 1950s movie, but the only adjectives I could use these days to describe her without getting myself in trouble are... Excuse me a second. Yes? I appreciate that. All right. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Now, how can I help you?
I think I'm being framed.
I see. I did see. I'd frame her, hang her on the wall, and never leave my apartment. But this dame was in trouble. This dame was trouble. I can't resist trouble. So, tell me, what's your story?
I work for Consolidated Dynamics Corporation. I think somebody's trying to frame me. My name is Jennifer, but they call me Jen.
Pleasure to meet you, Jen. It was. What makes you think you're being framed?
I don't know for sure, really. I get asked lots of questions, and then I get blamed when I don't answer exactly right. I mean, I just finished my training, and I'm responding like I was taught. I don't know what to do.
That doesn't sound so unusual.
I've also been seeing strange things, and sometimes...
Not again. Excuse me. Yes? No. She's here with me. How did you know? Okay, we'll be right there.
They know I'm here?
There's a situation at the old warehouse by the waterfront. I don't think it's a coincidence. We need to get there right away. I'll drive.
Tune in next time when we hear Nick say,
"Who are you?" Paul, Mark, and I were bouncing around ideas for the show, and we thought it would be fun to do a 1950s-style film noir detective story. In black and white, of course.
Sitting in the Admiral's Club at Washington National Airport, we talked through the outline of a story. That story became a script, and the script became a recording.
It's been a little more ambitious than our past openings, with a single story spanning multiple episodes. We also have some new additions to the Rock Bottom Players, as well as a special guest.
This episode's theme is creativity and engagement, and the Rock Bottom data feed was born out of a desire to do something creative and engaging.
At least, that's how it's intended.
We hope you enjoy it.
Today's little chat is to the executive. We started our podcast addressing leadership, and I'd like to continue that for just a little while longer, if I could. As an executive, you're being asked to get lots of insights from data. You're surrounded by artificial intelligence things. There's still the leftovers of analytics things. There's just getting your reports. And there's all the stress and trial and tribulations of running the organization. More and more and more, we are hearing executives and advisors to executives say you need some data governance because you have to get the data right. And that's all True, but how do you do it? Everyone's talking about upping the game and doing this, but how do you do it? Well, here's three simple steps as an executive. Number one, please understand that everything about data governance has now been overcooked. It's been exaggerated. It's been made too hard. There are hard things to do. There are hard work days ahead. But in general, governance is kind of boring, right? You need oversight. In fact, here's a little secret. Don't tell anyone else. Don't use the word governance. Just put some controls in to make sure the data's right. Okay, second, you have to take a look and you have to educate yourself to look at the value in this. There is value in your data. There is value in using data, and it is enabled business value. There are value drivers in your data. This isn't just letting someone in marketing get their reports quicker or do their own dashboard. This is real, serious corporate stuff. And that leads to the third one. This stuff is anthropological. We've said that before on our podcast. What that means is society is having to wrap itself around data. People are having to wrap around data. We're at the point now where you're like the textile mill owner in the late 17th century or early 18th century in England, and you're figuring out, should I keep my horses or should I try one of these newfangled steam engines? You don't have a choice. It's the steam engine. It's data governance. So learn a few new things. Listen to the rest of our podcast. We got lots of good stuff on this. And be nice to each other.
We're here with Irene Dirks at DGIQ East 2024. Welcome to Rock Bottom.
Well, thank you.
And you're attending the conference?
Yes.
First time to one of these conferences?
This one, yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually my first time in the U.S. At all.
So, oh, yeah. And, welcome. And it's Washington, D.C.? So we'd like you to just share, and you have a great perspective, share some things. Mark, what do you think we should hear first?
Well, I'm interested in your impressions generally of what you've heard so far, what you found most interesting.
Well, I'm here also as a speaker, and my presentation is about how to improve data literacy using gamification and Lego and make it more engaging. And I think it's so typical that every presentation I've been to has at least mentioned culture. Mm. So for me, that's so important because data, a lot of people think it's about tech or about technology. Yeah. But it's not. Well, no. not only. So I think the people part is very important.
Absolutely.
And I think ultimately behavior drives your business. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm trying to make it fun so that improves behavior.
So what do we do about culture? Now that we've all finally realized, all finally recognized that this is something we need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
What do we do about it?
What I do is I focus on the people that are engaged because I hope that they kind of spread it like a wildfire through the business, and the people that don't get it get jealous of the people that do get it and get the benefit out of it, right? So, and it's more organic in that way that you don't make it, do it to them, but do it with them. So it's
more of a grassroots up approach to culture shaping.
Well, also both. Like you also want it to ultimately be part of their role and their deliverables. Yep. But I'm taking more small steps towards that, I think, because otherwise it's too overwhelming and it seems maybe not relevant yet to their business.
Yeah. So they haven't made the connection quite yet.
No, not all of them. Some are, they start to get it, But then if you don't keep the conversation going, it slowly goes down again.
So what was it? So you've got some people that got it and some people that haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah.
What was it about the people that got it? Did a metaphor, just did the light bulb go off, say ping, okay, Or was it a process over time, or you just had to wear them down until they...
No. because I use Lego to explain data quality, and I think then you already start with something they know and they like, and you don't have to explain the whole concept before you can just start with the exercise, and then, make them experience what is the difference between accuracy and completeness.
So explain Lego to me.
Lego?
Yeah.
Lego is, it's the plastic bricks.
Lego. Yeah.
Oh.
We use it. Sorry, we have a hard G in.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay.
I thought this was a.
I thought this was an EU standard of some sort.
Yeah. Or it's an acronym.
But it's a child's toy.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
Very, very familiar.
I wanted to say everybody knows Lego, but it's Lego then. Okay.
No. Well, I stand. I'm going to go into the store and say I would like to buy a Lego set. And I'm going to make the guy at Walmart upset.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Oh wow! All the lights just went. So now
I was
yeah, exactly. I was in this one group over here, and now I'm in this other group over here.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
now I yeah, now I get yeah, so yeah. What so drill into the metaphor one more level.
Okay. Well, I'll explain more tomorrow, of course. But we used like a Lego
okay.
game.
Now that we know what you're talking about, you can pronounce it however you want.
Well, I just had three boxes of the same set. Uh-huh. And then one of them had all the bricks in one bag, and the other one had it sorted per color, and the other one had sorted per color and checked. And so trying to make the little, little monsters was a different experience for all the three groups. Yep. Because they were all missing a piece, or it was the wrong piece, but not the one that had it checked.
Yep.
But all of them were all still missing one that wasn't in the requirements. Okay. So it's like, it's very like, this is the wrong brick.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah, that's accuracy.
Well, make it work anyway.
Yeah. But and also I like that the people doing it were also people not in the same teams, so they actually have an experience together that is more fun.
Oh, that's, get to know some other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used a metaphor like that in a presentation I gave. I used my son's Lego sets, and he had a big box full, and I went to take pictures of it, and realized that it. It also had like a Band-Aid in it, and a little matchbox car, little army guys or something. It is all sorts of like, oh, that's an even better metaphor. It's a box of Lego bricks with a bunch of other junk in it.
Here's our
data quality right there.
Yeah. That's funny.
So in terms of making that transition.
Yeah.
Where do you see the ultimate goal? So you can't get all the way. You mentioned earlier that you can't get all the way there, all in one.
No.
You know, it's a process and it's a transition. Yeah, yeah. But what does that future world look like?
I really want it to become like a community, and that people help each other with data problems or data issues, and that they... support each other in finding solutions or ways to share data. And I think it just starts with knowing why you ask this question. You know, I already see the difference between people that have done the training and have not, that they are like, what a dumb question. Of course we want to renew this data sharing agreement. And I'm like, it's so rude to ask it to say that. And if you had a conversation outside of the usual, I think you are also more connected together. And so share data and then you get value in return, right?
Absolutely. We started this during COVID where we would get people on, I called it office hours. And we just get people on a call for half an hour twice a week. And it was folks from different operating companies, different groups, everybody with data and analytics. But all different projects, and whoever called in
No agenda, which is I know breaking cardinal meeting rule number one, but there was never an agenda. And if we went for 15 minutes, then it was 15 minutes. If sometimes we'd go for an hour, hour and a half, and it went for an hour and a half. It just however long it went. And we would always have, oh, have you tried setting up this on, and somebody else on the call would say, oh yes, we've had that problem. And they would, it would get connected up. And so I guess the point is making that, or establishing that community of folks that's oriented towards helping each other.
I once heard that there were like two teams that had two offices in different countries, and then every day they would just put a camera on each other's block, and they felt more in the same room together and just working. Mm-hmm. But I think that helps, that you not only see people online, of course, but... Have a joke together. Right?
Seriously, no, that's really what it was. You know, because it started because everyone was so isolated during pandemic time.
Yeah,
and then it just got to be a, you know, how was your weekend? How's things? By the way, you know, my BI query thing isn't working well. You know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So yeah, the community is very important in there.
Yeah. So now I have like a monthly session that I first do like a demo or instruction, but the other half is like bring your questions. So, yeah. And if we can't answer it, we'll use it for the next time. Yeah.
And so you see people helping each other in those sessions. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's really good.
So what's your one big takeaway from so far the conference? The one thing you're very excited to tell is first thing you tell someone when you get back home. What will that be?
It's very large, a lot of people, but very engaging. And I think, like I said, it's not just about data governance and AI, but a lot of focus is still on the people part.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So I always collect sound bites, so it helps to talk better about data. So
us too.
Yeah.
That's what we've been doing all day.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Okay.
And thanks to our sponsor, Hubris Data Pros. When you find you're not so good at data poetry, try Data Pros. Hubris Data Pros. Welcome to Dispatches from Rock Bottom, dredging up practical information, advice, and food for thought. Let's face it. Information management is not sexy. It's dry. Really dry. Makes accounting and Sarbanes-Oxley compliance process audit analysis look like spectator sports. Try this experiment if you dare. Gather a bunch of people into a conference room, then bring in a data modeler and have them develop a logical model on screen while everyone else watches. A few of your test subjects will be engaged in the exercise, and the rest of the room will be unconscious in minutes. Or a DBA reviewing physical database structures, table by table, field by field, type by type. But that's the point. Most of us like structure and precision. They call us left brains, and that's how we gravitated to this vocation in the first place. Maybe that's why we're not so good at developing data literacy training. I mean, we can present to each other all day long. It makes sense to us, it engages us, but the ones we're trying to reach isn't us. The thing is, I know there's some latent right brain activity around here. I've seen it. Our guest today, Irene Dirks, found a way to make information management fun with Legos. In her DGIQ presentation, she showed several of the activities that she uses to get across data concepts, and she's always developing more. Between now and next time, the one thing you can do is try something fun and creative, something different. Several years ago, I had a vice president require that each of his direct reports make a short video about some application architecture topic to share with peers. Now, everybody makes videos about anything. Reach out to friends and colleagues in marketing or graphic design or theater. Sometimes what you come up with will work and sometimes it won't. Kind of like this show. But don't be discouraged or deterred. And finally, you don't have to sacrifice content. You can be both creative and make your point. That's what I think. We'd love to hear your stories if you're willing to share. Write us at rockbottom@counterthreadedproductions.com.
You want to play the game show?
Do you want to play the game show?
You want to play a game show? 3 minutes to play the game show?
Of course.
Okay.
We call this segment the Audio Data Rorschach Test. And so what we're going to do is we're going to play a snippet of public domain music, public domain, because we don't have a budget. Despite this wonderful setup here at DGIQ East, play the snippet of music and just whatever the first thing is that pops into your head related to data.
Oh, related to data.
Related to data and animal. Yeah, that's the hard part about
this. Yeah, exactly.
So music is evocative. This might evoke a lovely memory of your youth. We don't care.
Okay.
What we care about is the context of data. So are you ready? This is a challenging contest here. But the prizes are immense. All right.
Okay.
One more time.
Let's try it one more time. Here we go.
It reminded me of the Peter and the Wolf cartoon that the flute is the wolf and the pivot is it.
So how does that apply to your data work? What's Peter and the Wolf?
Well, your glossary. Look, this sound means this.
There you go. You win. You win.
You win all the prizes.
All the prizes we have. We don't have any prizes, but you win them all.
You win them all. If we had any prizes,
we would be delighted to be giving them to you right now. Yeah. All right.
I will boast with my newfound fame.
There you go. See, that's your prize. Fame. 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Irene.
Okay, thanks all right. a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye. And thanks again to our sponsor, Hubris Data Pros, reminding you that any resemblance to actual events, persons, or businesses, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
It's good to have a creative outlet, both for your team's engagement as well as for your own. If all of your ideas are stuck behind writer's block, use Irene's or someone else's. And what will Nick Guy find at the old warehouse by the waterfront? Tune in next time to find out. Until then, this has been John Ladley and Mark Cooper for the Rock Bottom Data Feed. Thanks for listening, and remember, when you're here, you've reached rock bottom. You can find more information about the topics covered in this episode, the fuss about creativity and engagement, at our website, rockbottomdatafeed.com. The Rock Bottom Data Feed is a counter-threaded production, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.